Well, everyone, I want to talk to you today about your spiritual birthright, what you inherit from the Lord, because now, as a Christian, you're part of His family. And we see that birthright and inheritance is a big theme in the Bible. Yes, it is. Runs right through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and so on, right down to us in Christ. It all comes from God. Spiritual inheritance and birthright. And we see way back in the very beginning days there, God calling out Abraham and declaring His intention to make him a great nation, to give him a great birthright. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob continued to receive that inheritance, that birthright. In fact, it was pronounced over them over and over again. Well, remember, Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and Esau despised his birthright. Jacob got it. All these lessons there. The birthright is what God would give them, and they passed on down through generations. God's blessing. Ultimately, the people of Israel, ultimately inheriting the land of Israel and losing it and getting it again and losing it again and getting it again as they walked with God. Oh, the lessons that could be learned there. But all the stories involve a birthright. What God gives and has promised and has passed on. And then we find here's Jesus, and we're born again in Christ. And it says that we are adopted into this family of God because what Christ did on the cross, and you and I and all who believe in Christ, we have a spiritual birthright in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. I want to walk in my birthright. I don't want to neglect any of it. And, you might say, I'm not Jewish. We don't have land over in Israel and all that. Well, that's true. But that's not the sort of birthright we're talking about here. What we're talking about is what God raised up in people and for us to be in Christ. And it's interesting that in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, here he talks about what we are in Christ, what we receive in Christ. We receive an inheritance. We receive eternal life. We're going to receive a kingdom. We're going to receive new body, all the things that are coming. But right now, Peter says this: you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking to Christians, not Jews. All of us. A holy nation. You're a holy nation. This is kind of like the same thing, isn't it? God's own people, that you declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Before, He says, you were no people. Now you are God's people. Before, you'd not received any mercy. Now you have received mercy. You're part of the blood-bought family of God, grafted into Christ and the vine and of God's family. You have a spiritual birthright and inheritance. Wow. Royal priesthood. So let's talk about that. What's that mean? Well, royal means kingly part, and a priest means a ministry part, and we've gotten both. Now, in the story of Israel, these were separate. They belonged to separate tribes. It wasn't like that at the beginning. At the beginning, God's call rested on the patriarchs. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all that functioned as that sort of royal priesthood. They all were priests to God. They all ministered to God. They all had actually a prophetic kind of a role as well, and they would minister to God. They were functioning like priests. But as Israel's history went along and they were rescued from Egypt by God and Moses took them out, we found that it was the descendants of Aaron and the Levite tribe who became the priests, and then it was the descendants later on of Judah who became the kings, and they were never to cross the line. In fact, when one of the kings, Uzziah, I believe it was, tried to cross the line, he tried to go into the tabernacle and burn incense and took a censer with him into the temple, and burn incense before the Lord. The priest stopped him and said, no, that belongs to the priest. You can't do that. And he was angry, and all of a sudden, leprosy breaks out on him. Curse of God breaks out on this king who tried to be a priest. They were separate roles in Israel. And they hustle him out of there, and he has to live separately for the rest of his days as king with leprosy. But they merge together in Christ. And they merge together in us, the royal priesthood. And that's because Christ is not your typical Jewish king or priest. It says he is a priest and king after the order of Melchizedek. You'll see that written up in the book of Hebrews. But back in Genesis, Melchizedek was the king of Salem and the priest of the Most High God, a man without number of days, eternal man, whoever he was, God on the earth or something, Jesus on the earth before he came. And Abraham had just defeated the enemy kings that had captured his family of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and stuff, and God gave him the blessing. He completely wiped them out and defeated them and got all the stuff back. And out comes Melchizedek, this royal priest, to bless Abraham. Now, if he blesses Abraham, it means he's higher than Abraham. He's greater than Abraham. Abraham, who God called out, is blessed by someone greater, this royal priest. No doubt Christ showing up before. So it says in the New Testament, Jesus, Christ, is a priest after this order of Melchizedek. And you and I are in Christ, and Peter says, we too are a royal priesthood. That's the history of this all. That's your birthright. That's where it comes from. Your royal priesthood. Question is, have you taken up your birthright? Have you received it? Do you use it? Do you live in it? Someone could have great riches and never use it. That was the problem with Esau. He didn't want his birthright. He wanted that meal more than he wanted his heritage. And so Jacob got the birthright. Esau despised the birthright. Clear lesson for us is God has a great spiritual inheritance and birthright for you and me if we'll take it and not despise it. So let's talk about the two things. First of all, the ministry of the priesthood, and then the ministry which is royal, kingship, okay? So here we go. What is this priest ministry all about anyway? And we see that came with only one tribe in the Old Testament in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And what it involved was the sons of Aaron and descendants of Aaron as the priest, the high priest, and the sons of the Levites, that one tribe, ministering to God. They would go into the temple, they would burn incense before the Lord. They would bring sacrifices. They would worship. They had Levites, had singers and ministers and praise and worshiping and doing all those things for the Lord, worshiping God. Yes, they're doing the work of a priesthood. What's a priest do? A priest comes and ministers to God. Priest brings sacrifices to praise and honor and worship and exalt God, either with their lips or with their sacrifice or whatever. It's what was going on in the book, in Antioch in the book of Acts, that first church there. It says there were apostles and prophets, and they were fasting and praying and ministering to the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit came and said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work I've said. He grew the church supernaturally. Now, we experience this at church. When you come to church and are praising and worshiping God, or maybe at home or any other time, and lifting up holy hands to the Lord, you're offering your sacrifice of praise. You're doing the ministry of a priest, but only part of it. Another part of the ministry of a priest was to come and offer sacrifices and worship and prayer on behalf of others. When you intercede for another person, you're taking up the role of the priest that God's given you on behalf of others. God has appointed you as a believer to be able to come before him. And remember, it says in the New Testament that you may boldly approach the throne of grace and find help in time of need. You can come and access God's presence in your prayers. That's the role of a priest. And then the final role of the priest, may I add to this, is that the priest receives from God to deliver to the people. The priest could come back and bless the people. When the priest would minister, like in Solomon, dedicated the temple and all the sacrifices are made, the glory of God came down. The glory of God comes with priests and ministers and blesses the people. This is what the function of a priest is all about, to minister to the Lord, to intercede on behalf of others, to bring from the Lord and give to others. I'm often over at different places ministering. I'm over at Quadra Island about once a month ministering. And, oh, my goodness, the beautiful things that happen over there. But one of the times there, we're talking about, what am I doing, like your ministry and all this. And I said, I'm a servant of the Lord. And, you know, without using just a quaint phrase, literally what I experience happening is God gives me something to serve to people. I get a message to serve to them. I have a word of knowledge, a prophecy, and I'll prophesy it over them. God may give me a healing, and I heal them with what he does. I'm serving them from the Lord. All the gifts and functions happen that way. You understand? That's what a priest does. But then we've got the other side, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, and we're a royal priesthood. Royal means we're a king as well in Christ. We're not just a priest to minister to God and others. We're a king. What does a king do? A priest ministers to God and others on God's behalf. But a king has appointed, anointed authority from God. We have received authority and rights as kings, as Christians. Namely this, a king conquers enemies. This is what God anointed kings to do in the Old Testament. A king conquers enemies. Number two, a king takes territories into the kingdom of God. Number three, a king would enforce righteousness in his realm. And number four, a king brings provision in to the house of God so worship can continue. See, this is what's falling apart in our culture right now with the church. We have power and authority to do what? Number one, if you're walking with God, you have a power and authority over all demons. Any demon bothering you, your family, your home, your business, or your sphere of influence, whatever the territory God's assigned to you, God has given you authority over the power of the enemy. He'll show you the enemy, and you could say, you devils, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off my family. Right now, go from this house in the name of Jesus. God can reveal these things to you. You have authority to deal with them. I've had phone calls from people in church. There's a demon at my house, and something's bothering me or whatever else. And I'd say, well, rebuke it. What do you mean? I can't do it. You got to come, Pastor. No, I don't, but I do. And I teach them, God has given you authority over all. Behold, I give you power, said Jesus, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. And so I teach people, you say to that devil in the name of Jesus, get your hands off me, get your hands off my family, and you start driving that thing out. And it'll go. If you believe God, it'll go. It'll go. And then you not only conquer the enemy, you tame territory. What do I mean by that? I mean, there's the territory God's assigned for you to hold and own as a believer in Christ. You're a king in Christ. You start with your family. Well, you start with your own life, but then your family and your home. That belongs to Christ in you. You exercise your godly authority to conquer that enemy there and take that territory and hold it for God. You dedicate it to God. Number three, you enforce righteousness there. In other words, you get rid of any unclean, wicked thing that might be defiling and polluting the territory. You get rid of it. You're watching these unclean, ungodly TV shows. Turn the stupid TV off. Don't watch it. Repent. Clean your territory out. Because those ungodly things, those horror movies, those sex things, whatever you're watching, they attract demons to come into your place. They're not from God. Don't watch them. And then you say, devil, you get out. God, I'm sorry. And you cleanse it all, Lord. May the blood of Jesus cleanse this. There's the priest part. And you enforce righteousness. That you can do the same thing in the business where you work or the school you attend or whatever. You start praying over it all. You start demanding the devil get his hands off. And if you've got authority in your business, you begin to enforce righteousness. No compromise. You don't have to, even though someone is wanting you to, or some business deal is wanting you to do something that's not straight and clean and right, you say, no, I won't do that. I won't do that. You know what I'm saying? I know of some folks that are in a position where they're asked to get involved with all the gay pride events and parades and all that. They said, no, I won't. No, I'm not doing it. I'm stepping out of this. I will not be involved. Why? Because they're going to walk with God. And we don't do that sort of thing. And so you do what's right. And you do it in your life and as much as you're able in the territory God's assigned you authority over. That is your role as a king. That's how the nation comes back to God. That's how a nation comes under the blessing of God. Christians began to exercise their kingly role in all their areas of influence through all of the culture, whatever role they did, and it ends up changing laws, it changes culture, it changes publications, it changes media, it changes marketplace, you name it, it gets changed because the godly influence of Christians exercising a king's authority comes in. And that's your birthright. That's who you are. So let me pray for you right now, Father. I am praying in the name of Jesus for my listeners. Our birthright is a royal priesthood, kings and priests of our God. I'm praying right now the eyes be open, the divine light shine. You see who God's made you to be, and you live it. Father, I'm praying that you realize our spiritual authority as kings in Christ. That's why the Bible says we rule and reign with him. That we would see our spiritual authority with Christ, where it says in Ephesians, we're seated with him on his throne in heavenly places. We would see our spiritual authority with Christ to pray and intercede and to worship God. We can come boldly to your throne because Christ, our high priest, has opened the way to us with his own blood, that we as priests can come before the Lord, praying, interceding, receiving answers, blessing others. Lord, I pray that would be resting the authority, the love, the peace, the promise of God resting on those, everyone listening to me today, on all of you. The Lord says to you, rise up, O men and women of God, be done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings.